Say! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motor Mouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Good Sunday afternoon to all of our audiophiles, autophiles, I guess we'll change that a little bit. You have tuned in to the bottom side of the dial, and you've gotten Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, Chris Switzer.
That's right. I'm at the bottom of something here, yes.
You are at the bottom of something, right. We're here to do another week of automotive talk and trivia. We have a great guest today. We have Mr. Tom Cotter coming in shortly. Tom is a recurring guest on this show.
Been looking forward to talking with Tom because he's been busy. Every time I turn around, it's on the computer. He's been like dominating YouTube. It's been amazing.
Yeah, Chris, Tom, it does keep busy. He's all over the place. Like we were busy, and people should know that if they want to find out how busy we are, they can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and the website, which is MotorMouthRadio.com in that case. And on Instagram, real_MotorMouthRadio. Yes. And I have a couple things in the queue right now that are going to go up from work that I've just done in the past few days and week. And that's where people can share what we do, you know, during our off time when we're not here behind a microphone. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been behind a microphone a lot with Zoom meetings. You know? Yeah. Kind of a new norm, right?
Yes. Showing off our quarter-inch jacks and our mini jacks and our old technology. It has been a Zoom meeting fest this week. That is the truth. Nice. That is the truth.
That's right. See, you're all wired and ready to go. That's
I am.
We will be able. Well, we should be able to take phone calls if you want to get us. It's not the regular studio line. You will call our alternate number, which is 516-256-9510.
And that's 256-9510. 516. Write it down.
Write that down.
Write it down.
And if all this works right, you should be able to speak with Tom Cotter because he'll be with us on another platform. And we're trying a lot. It seems like every week we're trying something new. But So what did you do this week automotively, Chris? Was there anything on your plate?
Well, yeah, I was because we've been basically doing a lot of other projects around the house, mainly chasing a degree on me personally. But I did spend some time to do some minor adjustments, which was kind of cool.
Nice.
Because I haven't done any sort of major league adjustments in many years. And when I say adjustments, you know, Ray, you know how I feel about when a panel has to come together correctly. A door has to match the fender, has to match the quarter. They all have to go in the same line. Because I like when a vehicle, it looks like it's one piece. When the whole car looks like a block, that to me is the ultimate of panel fitting. And the last two vehicles that I've purchased, no panels have been fitting correctly. So I had a laugh because I stepped away from one of the cars and I just looked at it and went, was this thing like hit or was this put together like on a Friday? What is wrong with this thing? The door doesn't matter. The door panel on the driver's side, you can almost get your fingers in it because it's so far set forward that from its gap from the quarter to the door is kind of wider than usual. And then I look forward and I go, well, the front fender is up a little bit and the header is kind of bent forward. I'm like, this thing was hit and spun around and hit again. It had to be.
Now, so, forgive me if you said already, but which car was that you were working on?
The LeBaron was one of the cars I was working on yesterday. I had to raise the hood. I'm driving the car and I look over and the hood sits about, I don't know, maybe about an eighth inch from the fender. The fender is higher than the hood. I'm like, what is that? So, of course, I popped the hood. Yeah, popped the hood. I had to adjust the two adjustment bolts and move the hinge, bring it up just a little bit. And that's when you kind of use my tip is you always wear something bulky, like a sweatshirt or something that has bulky sleeves, because you're going to wedge your forearm into the hood hinge as you're loosening, so the hood doesn't drop.
Right.
And it also doesn't guillotine your arm. So you got to hook that in and kind of lift it up with your whole body and then tighten it down really quick and then close the hood and make sure you got it all aligned. And I've also been doing something a little bit unique where I just keep the bolts snug. And then lower the hood gently and then go over to where the spot is, where it's high or low, and push it down or pull it up. And you got to really, you got to lean on it. You got to know the strength of your tightening, or I should say the lack of strength, because you don't want it really too tight because you're not going to be pushing down on anything or adjusting anything. But it's kind of tough to adjust the hood when it's up. But of course, that's when you have to adjust it when it's raised.
Yeah.
You have to lose, because you can't do it while it's closed. That would be too easy.
Right.
So it was, that was the job. And you would think, oh, just the hood. How long can this take? 10 minutes? Hour and a half later. It's too high. It's too low.
Working alone, too, is a problem with a job like that. It's always nice to have another set of hands.
Right. That you can jam fingers into fenders when you're not communicating with each other or whatever. What'd you do that for?
Okay. another experienced, competent set of hands. Let's say
that's better.
And as you know, we all know that when you get to work with somebody, like I get that luxury when I'm at either one of the shops, all the guys there know how to work on cars. So if I say, hey, come over here, I need a hand with this.
Yes.
You know, they kind of assess it as they like I would do. They assess it as they're walking by. They're already looking for smoke or fire or, you know, things like that.
Leaking. Yeah.
And then you look at the person's body position to see, okay, is he holding up the weight of the wall? Like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom first. No! You do all that.
Wait.
And then you know that when the person comes over, they're going to give you experienced, competent help. And
yes.
And sometimes do better and have more insight than you do yourself, because again, everybody has a different skill set. We're all, we all have different levels.
That is true. You're absolutely right. And right now I'm surrounded by people where you would have to explain the wheel. Okay. Here's what we have to do. Go get the screwdriver. What's a screwdriver? No, wait, just the yellow handle thing. No, is that the one with the little, the tip, or the one with the blade? No, the one with the blade. You got to get into that.
You know, what's really funny. Now, you know, the guys that I work with now in modern days. So there's Mike and Mike Jr. And both, like when I work with Mike Jr., we tend to talk a bit and kid around and share stories and there's adages and, historic things. When I work with Mike Sr., like I did yesterday, we work quietly. Mike likes to work quiet, and I like to work quiet too. So there's like
you like to work quiet.
Believe it. And it's
no.
I get a little like my sense goes up. Like it's just like really quiet in here. Like neither one of us are talking. We're just doing what we need to do.
Wow.
Work on separate things. And sometimes, like, I want to say something, but I'm like, I don't want to break the silence. I don't want to die.
Oh no, that would not be my environment at all. I'd be singing "Roll Out the Barrel" every once in a while.
I know. And I know, like, when Joe and I worked together, again, we talked a lot, and there was always show bits. There was like, oh, we got to record this for the show. Everything becomes a bit.
I liked when you and I worked together. I think it was very unique because it was like, what are you doing that for? And then after a while, you were just telling me to hold the flashlight.
Yeah.
Hey, hold this flashlight. Put your hands in your pockets. Go stare in the corner.
Yeah, right?
I know how you and I work.
Oh, funny. Funny.
It's like working with my dad.
But that's the thing. Everybody does work different. There's always that level, and people who aren't car people know this too. If you have to employ the help of your wife or your husband or one of your kids, you approach that differently than if it's someone who knows what you're doing.
Right.
It's And then you have to give them that leeway of like, okay, well, they don't understand this. But
I have this thing with my wife as far as what cars are concerned, where if every time she's standing there and I'm doing something, something goes wrong. I don't know. And there are times where I've been painfully aware of it. Like I'll be working on something. I'm like, okay, she's standing over my shoulder. What is going? Let me just, holy smokes, that's on fire. You know, it's always been like that. So when I had the 300 in the air.
You just froze on me. That's very
what?
Interesting. You just froze on me. Yeah.
Nice.
That's nice.
Very cool.
So the 300 was in the air. What happened?
The 300 was in the air. I had jack stands under it, and I was going to drop it. I had put the tires back on. I was going to put it on the ground. And, of course, Dawn comes around, and she's standing there. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, well, I'm here to watch you take the car off the jack stands. Oh. I'm like, no.
Please don't.
I'm like, go away.
Honey, I love you, but please go back in the house.
Just go away. She had her phone out. She dialed 9 and she dialed 1.
Had her finger above the button.
She had her finger on the 1.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Ready to go.
Locked and loaded.
Luckily, the car came down without a problem. But yeah. Wow.
That reminds me when I brought my Pontiac home to work on it, to take it apart. I have this lift. You've seen them. Anybody who's been in the boroughs would know. Chris, I know you certainly do. All the tire shops in Brooklyn and Queens use them. It's a tall post with a set of lift arms. And they put them under it's a bumper jack. You put under a real chrome bumper, a steel bumper, and it's got an airline on it, and it'll raise the car, that half the car.
Right.
I wanted to get two of them and raise the car to get like a lift, but I only have one. And mine was a little problematic. It gave me some troubles like most lifts in shops do, you know, the older ones.
True.
Whereas I had the car all the way up, and I guess all the way up for this thing is probably, I'm going to say maybe about 5 feet, which is pretty damn good.
You had the front of that car lifted with this jack 5 feet in the air.
No, I had the back of the car lifted 5 feet. The nose was touching the ground, and the back of that car was 5 feet up in the air.
Wow.
I was taking it apart. And then it got to be time for me to knock off for a while and go to the chiropractor for an adjustment. And I went to let the car down. And I let all the air out of this thing.
No way.
And it wouldn't come down. And this is what the thing used to do. If there wasn't enough weight on it, it would stay up. You had to load the thing to make it come down. Well, now it had, you know, 3,600 pounds on it, and it wouldn't come down.
Oh, no. What did you do?
And the safety's off. And I'm like, da, da, da.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, I started. And now I realized immediately the severity of the issue. Any slip, this thing is coming down 5 feet.
Yeah.
So I can't be under it. I don't even want to be really near it.
No,
but
no.
I have to get in under there with floor jacks and 4x4s. And I had to get it off the 5 foot jack.
So you had to get it higher. Not by much.
Not
by
much. Higher. And then successively lower it. And I did it. And I was sweating every single step of the way because one slip meant I'm probably crushed.
Yeah.
And I did get it to drop down. I did get it down, but it took – let me tell you something. That was one time where I was actually kind of scared being on the –
I don't blame you. I did not blame you at all. Holy smokes. And
but I tell you what.
We have a very special guest that has just joined us, I see.
We do. I want to give out the number again. If you want to call to get in on this, the number is 516-256-9510. Talk with Ray, Chris, or our special guest, Mr. Tom Cotter. Tom,
hey. Hiya, Tom.
Hey, how are the bagels on Long Island?
Excellent. Where's the pizza? Always good here, yes.
Tom, I have to tell you, I've left the island, so I'm gone too.
You moved.
I went up north. I am now in Connecticut.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I'm around people that talk like this. Hello, Thomas. How are you? You look so wonderful today. Yeah, got a lot of. So no bagels, no pizza, nothing.
Wow. Just high taxes and Lyme disease.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. That's it. Lyme disease and high taxes. And here I am.
Yep. And a bunch of neat cars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It is amazing. I think of you constantly because of this. Mm. I go driving around, and there is so much unique hardware sitting in people's garages up here in Connecticut, up in Fairfield County. It is just extraordinary.
Fairfield County, you're in the hotbed of it. They have cars and coffee and cruises and stuff that are – stuff comes out you can't believe. I go on some of them, you know. And then I go up to Lime Rock every year and race, and all those people gravitate to Lime Rock.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And, yeah, I think of you constantly because I'm always turning my head, looking behind me, like you say, to always see where you've come from. And that's usually where – that's the source. That's that kernel of knowledge that you get over someone else that does not see.
Sure. At the end of May was going to be the Greenwich Concourse. It's been postponed for a year. But come over there. I'm involved with that. I'm a judge. I do the car selection. And really cool, what was going to happen this year now will happen next year. It's a field of about 30 vehicles. Half of them are Ford and half of them are GM. And it's going to be this rivalry. And they're going to be parked Ford, GM, Ford, GM, Ford, GM. And we've got Cobra Daytona coupes and GT40s and Grand Sport Corvettes. And just amazing stuff. Kevin McKay is working on the GM side and I'm working on the Ford side. Okay. So next May.
Great.
Oh,
yeah, Kevin's a good friend of the show. We'll have to get him on too. You know, I saw something like that. Last time I saw anything like that, which I think is great, was, it's probably about 20 years ago. And out on Long Island, they did it was out in Suffolk. It was a VW show, the VW Club. And what they did was they had, there's always the air-cooled and wet head guys, you know, the water-cooled.
Yeah, wethead.
Porsches and VWs, right? They're always like at odds. But what they did is they agreed to come together. Furrows Road is where it was. They came together at the show.
The old Bald Hill Ski Bowl.
Exactly. Right. But it was all the airheads on one side and all the wetheads, all the water on the other side. So the middle, there was like a football field within the middle that was like the neutral zone. but you could actually go and see both genres, and I thought that was great because from someone who doesn't really care about that, I liked it.
Yeah,
some of the guys crossed the middle zone.
But I love the concourse. I love the events. I was planning on. I wanted to wander through Greenwich this year. Unfortunately, this happened. But I'll be so there next year. Are you kidding? I've been trying to get Ray. I wanted to go to Pebble Beach.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, we don't have the hat for that.
Yeah, but knowing that it happens on the East Coast too, and not far from my home is just a joy in itself.
So. Oh yeah, and the car is parked along Long Island Sound. You know, you can look right over at Northport, you know, the Northport Steam Station and all that stuff. Really great stuff.
Wow.
Well, I could come over. I could be in Northport and look at you from binoculars. Maybe we should do that, Chris. Maybe we should get together. I'll drive up there and we'll go see Tom.
Yeah. You know, totally.
Just to give some history. I did have a note on this. Tom, you first came on this show January 8th, 2009 was the first time we had you on.
And I drove there, right?
No, that wasn't that one. It was the second visit, August 9th, 2009, when you came into the studio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So only 8 months later. And then in February of 2011, we had you on. And April 21st of 2019 was the last time you were on. And now today. So, we've had a great history. And of course, it was always the books. That's what first, attracted us to you was all the books you'd written, which was so many. I mean, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. It was the Barn series, the Cobra in the Barn, the Vincent in the Barn, the Harley in the Barn, the Corvette in the Barn, the Hemi in the Barn. Those were iconic. But now you do Barn Find Hunter through Haggerty on YouTube. What a great, switch over for you. I think that's fantastic.
You know, the Haggerty people like the books, and they called me up and said, you know, would you consider doing this in a video series? I said, you know, I guess so. I've never done anything like it before, but we'll give it a shot. And they followed. I was doing a book, Route 66, Barn Find Hunting on Route 66. And they followed us for a couple of days, and it seemed to work because they said, let's do it. That was a test session. And it would have been 5 years ago. And that would have been 6 years ago now. And they liked it. And so that's kind of taken the place of the books. And it's kind of probably more in tune with what people do these days. They watch videos more than they read books. So, you know, the books led me to that. But I love it. And, you know, I spend about a week a month on the road just looking for old stuff. I drive my Woody or my big old Ford Country Squire. Nice. If it's on the East Coast, Florida, Tennessee, Virginia, Pennsylvania. But if it's like San Diego or something like that, we ship it out and I fly in there.
Right.
But you know, I've discovered that the way to get into people's, well, hearts, I guess, is to drive something unusual into their driveway. So when you knock on the door of a crabby old guy and say, is that Z28 Camaro in your carport for sale? He would normally say no, but then he sees a 39 Ford out in the driveway and suddenly you're as interesting to him as he is to you. And the conversation erupts. It's great.
You mentioned that in one of the videos. I think you were in an Explorer, a Tahoe. It was an SUV because you needed to be in that for whatever
It was pouring rain. I don't take the Woody out in the rain.
Yeah. And you said on the camera, you said, you know, we're going to pull up to this guy's house. He's probably not going to talk to me because of what I'm driving. And you were absolutely right. And I said, yeah, it's so true. Car guys, definitely, we do that. Levels of like car sniffing, you know, like, okay, is this guy, you know, vetting out the other person? And but I wanted to know, when I first saw that wagon, I thought it was great. And then I saw that it's got power windows and a 4-speed. And I was like, oh my God. How did you make this? How did that come about? And you made the switch. What's the history of that car?
Well, I found that during one of my episodes. I did a book called Motor City Barn Finds, and I spent 2 weeks in Detroit looking for stuff. And man, is that town loaded with great stuff!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got a lead on this unusual station wagon with a 4-speed out in Northville, which is just beyond Ann Arbor, and it was in a storage unit, and the gentleman that owned it actually lives in New York City now, Adrian Clements, and he moved for his job from Michigan to New York City and had to get rid of his cars, and this wagon was one of them. So not only did I feature the car and fall in love with it, but then 2 months later, I wound up owning it. It's the only one ever made. It's one of one. It's got a 428, four-speed, bucket seats, and a console, but it came with drum brakes. It came with a single exhaust. So I've changed some things since I bought it. I put disc brakes in the front. I put dual exhaust on. The factory wouldn't put duals on it because they felt that the tailpipe would go too close to the gas tank, which is in the left fender. But right. We just routed it a little bit different, and it's fine. Yeah. I put fuel injection on it, which is amazing. Oh. You know, it's got the stock air cleaner, and it looks all original until you take it off, and there's a throttle body fuel injection. And I got 10.5 miles a gallon on it on the highway with that car. With the old carburetor and fuel injection is up to 13.5. So it's got a 30% increase by both. And plus it starts in a cold.
Yes.
Weather, you know, so it's been a great car. It's got a 280 rear in it. So it's not you can't burn out with it, but man, you can go 100 miles an hour and it's just above idle. It's just amazing.
Oh, that's great. What, whose fuel injection did you use? If you don't mind.
I use an FI Tech.
FI Tech. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, other people have told me that Edelbrock and Holley make a better one, but I just put it on and everything seems to be fine. You get this little module and you can tune it while you drive. You can increase the idle or, you know, the jetting or whatever. So.
Right. No, I think, you know what, I've been following all of them because I've been thinking of changing over my Pontiac, which is a fairly new build, but I've been thinking about maybe going to a dual throttle body, and I still haven't decided which one to use. But what I found is in the last year or two, they're all kind of watching each other, so they're all doing the same changes, which is good for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that car, I've had that wagon now 4 years. The biggest job I did to it was pull the body off the frame, which on a 5,000-pound car ain't easy. So
yeah,
I lifted it up off the chassis, and the rubber biscuits that separate the body from the chassis to kind of insulate, they – in some places, they had broken through the top of the frame. So lifted the body up, re-welded the frame, put all new biscuits on and stuff. And now it's, you know, it's like riding a couch. It's really amazing.
Oh, that's a great car. Yeah. As soon as I saw it, I was jacked. I go, this is great.
So it's going to be on Bring a Trailer soon. I'm going to wind up selling it.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I've got 21 cars.
It's, wow.
I just need to get rid of some. So so that car is going to be on the market. I got a Sunbeam Tiger I'm going to sell. I just sold a GT500 Shelby. Just just start selling a few off. You know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And if I haven't touched that car in 20 years, chances are I'm not going to touch it in the next 20.
Yeah, I tell you, our buddy Mike Mooney, who's down in North Carolina, he's over by the coast. He just, I think he just sold the Sunbeam Tiger. He's big with the TVRs. He's the TVR expert.
He's the Griffith.
Right, the Griffith and TVR. Yeah,
he lives near me. He used to work for me. When he moved down here, when he retired of being a Suffolk County police officer, he moved down here, and he and his son, Mike Jr., worked for my agency for a while.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
You know, I've known him for years. He's been in the studio with us, too, and he's never said that. I'll have to follow up with him on that. Cause...
I know Mike. I used to go to Seton Hall High School in Patchogue, and after school, I'd hitchhike with my blue blazer and tie, and I'd hitchhike with a little duffel bag with all I had my dirty clothes in it, and go over to his house in East Patchogue and help him work on his Falcon and, you know, hot rod.
Cool. Oh, wow.
And then, of course, you probably know Bill Dugan.
I know Billy Dugan. Yeah, as long as I know Mike. Yeah.
Billy Dugan is who built the engine for my Pontiac. Of course, we had him on the show, and I said, hey, how are you doing Pontiac engines? I was going to do it myself, and I figured, hey, you know, why not use a local expert? And I did. And so got the Bill Dugan special in there.
Yeah. Yep. Cool.
That's I tell you, in the localities, and you see it a lot more than us because you travel so much, you get those pockets of local experts that all know each other, and they know the chassis guy and the brake guy and the engine guy. And if you can tap into that, oh, it's golden.
And you know what I've found doing the books, doing the program, is that car guys are all friends, but we just often haven't met yet. And, you know, like I could meet a total stranger, and he's into – you know, GMC trucks, and I'm into Lotuses. And somehow within 10 minutes, we're best friends. It's just amazing.
And yeah, you all know the same people.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you have grease under your nails and oil in your veins, it's kind of that becomes a defining factor. You get to that base level. And you know, and I think what's happening, which is it's good, but it's kind of melancholy as we're getting older. I know myself, at least I'll speak for myself. I realize there's no time for platitudes. There's no time to, like, you know, look at, just embrace it, go with it, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens. It's,
yep.
You know, time.
No, that's the truth. Time. And like you, Tom, I actually sold my TR6 after owning it for 20 years, and I never in a million years thought I was going to sell it. I never thought anybody was going to buy it, but someone did.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. And people sniffed that car out in Connecticut. They sniffed it out in your garage.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of funny. It's funny you should mention that, Ray. I had – the garage door was down. I was going to get my mail, and it's, of course, the mailbox is at the edge of the road. And a woman pulled up in a bicycle, and she pointed over my shoulder and said, is there a TR6 in that garage?
All right.
And I said, yeah. I said, you want to buy it? And she said,
no. Did that in Brooklyn.
And she says, no, I own one. And we became good friends because she owns one, and she's literally not even 5-minute walking distance from my house.
Right.
So we talk every once in a while. How's the car? Blah, blah, blah. Now she knows what I have in the garage. She doesn't talk to me as much anymore.
Good thing she didn't buy it, because then she would have hated you.
She would have. Yeah, it's just after a while, you just look at it and go, okay, I've had enough of it. I mean, it's a great car, and you know, people are probably going to get on you for saying, why are you selling the car, like Ray would? But sometimes you just have to say, you know what? I haven't touched it in a while. Let someone else touch it. Let's give it to someone else. Let's move on. Yeah. So I totally respect your decision to do it. What are you keeping? What cars are you keeping in your fold? Wow.
Yeah, my Cobra, that'll be the last car I sell. You know, I've got a 289 Cobra that I dreamed about owning my whole life. And, you know, that's the keeper. That's the last car.
It is.
My Cunningham, I love it amazingly. And that'll be the second to last car. The Cunningham, you know, its roots are on Long Island at Bill Frick Motors in Freeport. But it was actually built in West Palm Beach, Florida. It was the Chrysler Hemi engine, 4 carburetors, shipped to Italy, an Italian body product. So it's an Italian sports car with hot rod lineage. And then it was brought back to Queens, Woodside, where Alfred Momo prepared it for sale. It's an amazing car. So I've got the second one of 25 built. And then my Woody would be the car to go third from the last.
Mm-hmm.
That's been in my life since 1969. I found it on Wicks Road in Brentwood when I was 15. And, you know, that's been a part of my life for half a century.
Now, that's the one that our listener Al Handy spied through the fence at the school.
Is that insane?
I know. We realized that, what I think on your last visit when you called, he listened and he sent me, he's got in touch with me and says, hey, I think I know that car. But you know what we're going to do? Let's leave the last 17 for the next segment of the show. We're going to take a break. Yeah, because we'll reestablish here on Motor Mouth Radio with Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, with Tom Cotter today. And I don't see my mouse moving. Oh, let's try this.
But I do, Tom, I do want to ask you a very big question about a show that I am fixated on that you have done. And we'll handle that after the break. But there is a show that you have done that everybody should watch. And we'll talk about that after.
Okay, so let's keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. We'll be back.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatle Songs, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All right, and we are back with, well, you're back with Motor Mouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, special guest Tom Cotter in the studio, the virtual studio with us. If you want to call, you can do that. You would dial 516-256-9510. Last we left, Chris was asking Tom a question. He was going to drop one on him about a show.
Tom, there's a program there you have done on YouTube. I think it's about a half an hour long, and you went through the pretty much, I would say, the center of North Carolina, and there were shacks and basically just, I don't know, metal corrugated buildings, and there was true rolling gold in it, and you just kept finding one after the other, and it was a half an hour of sheer joy. I could not take my eyes off it. Please talk a little bit about this episode you did for your show.
Well, it was It was the find of a lifetime. I've been doing this, you know, since I'm like 13 years old. I'm 66 now. And I heard about this guy from a Shelby Club member. He said, man, there's a guy that lives way back in the woods, and you should meet him. Maybe he'd allow you to do a show. And initially it was, no, it's not going to happen. He said, you know, just go and meet him. Well, you know, I just met him. I said, look, I have no intention or desire to identify where you are, your phone number, whatever. Just you call the shots and I'll do it. And he said, right. Okay. And so, you know, and I really played it up. I mean, it was his wife's birthday first of all, I said, you can't come on my wife's birthday because it's her birthday. Mm-hmm. So I brought flowers, you know, she dug right. that. And his father was there. So this guy's old and his father is ancient, and they've been working on cars for their whole lives. He has a Dodge D500 that his father bought new, that that is the four speed. He has a D500 his father bought new, which, you know, Hemi engine, dual carburetors, manual transmission, which was the NASCAR. You know, you buy it, take a hubcaps off, and go race in NASCAR. Well, they still have that car. They have a Hudson Hornet that his father bought new. They just never sold cars. And he and his father worked on cars together. They fixed them up. They painted them. They worked on them mechanically. Then he became an auto shop teacher at a high school and then a college. And he just started to buy these cars. He said, I bought them when nobody else wanted them. I bought Hemi Roadrunners. And I bought Superbirds. And I bought big block Chevelles and Corvettes because nobody wanted them. And I loved them. And they were cheap.
Yeah, sure were.
And he would buy them, restore them, new paint. Mechanically restored, new tires, new interior, and put it in the garage, and put it in the garage, and build another garage, and build that, and build and build and build, and load up cars. And this is over the course of a half a century. Well, suddenly, you know, he's got 100 cars plus that now the barns are kind of getting old and they're leaking, and the cars have flat tires and there's spider webs on them, and the cars that he restored now need to be restored again. And it's really sad because I went there in the spring and it was warm outside but cool in the barn, and everything was sweating. All the cars were sweating. And here's a Pantera starting to rust. It's like, oh man. You know, it's like, ah. But you know, he has no desire to sell anything. He doesn't need to. He's like, what do I need the money for? You know, he's happy the way he is. And so yeah. I don't know what's going to happen to that stuff. I mean, he's not in great health.
Right.
If two daughters don't care about this stuff, so I
of course that
I don't know.
Do we know what episode that is, Chris? Do you know the episode number?
No, I don't. I think if you probably typed in Tom Cotter freaks out.
No, that'd be when he did Motormouth Radio.
it was one of the episodes. It was lengthy because I know your shows don't really go
well,
much past
12 to 30 minutes usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. This was a 30 minutes
here. It, go up this directory. I'm looking at it's, it would have happened 2 years ago. So it probably would have been 2018.
Okay. What I think I remember the thumbnail was it was a red Cobra. It was a 427 Cobra. If I remember correctly.
I'll catch your eye.
That's what caught my eye.
That wouldn't have been the same show.
No, because I know there was a red Cobra and there was a Ferrari in there. And
right, no, that was in North Carolina as well, but it was a different location.
Oh, that was a different location. Okay, okay.
That was a different episode. It was a show that said something like, you know, the best barn find ever in history or whatever.
That was probably that was probably it. Yeah, I thought that was in there too.
With you, that's a dicey thing to say because the next one is always just as good or better than the last one, yeah. In my impression. You know, I mentioned to Tom before we came on, Chris, that I had my own little barn find yesterday that I shared with you last night.
Yeah, sure did.
Tom, Chris has himself a Chrysler Newport that's decked out as a 300, a convertible. And I just spotted one yesterday. I left the shop.
That's it. That's the program.
That's okay, the program.
We have it up on the thing. So we have to see what
episode 46.
Episode 46 is what you want. If you want to see what Tom has been talking about on today's show, of course, you can't see it now because you're not watching it like we are. But episode 46, go to YouTube and either just type in Barn Find Hunter. I guess you could type in Tom Cotter or you could type in Haggerty. It'll take you to that feed and you can find it and look for episode 46.
Yes, thank you to our world.
There's a 63 vet, you know, like just sitting there for years and years and years. You know, he has a vet. It's an 86, I think, you know, one of those years where it had no horsepower, had nothing, but he bought it new from a dealer that was 9 miles away. The car's got 11 miles on it now. He drove it home and that's it. It's got plastic covers on the seats, plastic on the door panels. Wow. It's got 11 miles on it.
So let me ask you, at this point in time, you've been doing this for quite a long time. Is there ever is there any level of immunity that you've developed around this, or is that just a stupid thing to say?
You know, it's funny. To me, I'm more intrigued with the story than I am the car. Yeah. And so somebody might invite me to see a car and it's like, oh, you know, I bought it at an auction or whatever. And they have no connection with the car. There's no tie-in.
Right.
Yet somebody might show me a car that is kind of secondary. It's a Falcon or a Metropolitan Nash or something. But but he got it in high school and his aunt gave it to him. And, you know, and then there's a human interest story. So it's not about the hardware. It's about the software. It's not about the metal, you know, the camshafts and door handles.
Right.
That's just metal. But when you can dig into somebody's life a little bit through that car, that's when the story becomes intriguing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I'm always digging for. So, which is why if you watch the program, I seldom go to junkyards because junkyards have inventory. They don't have stories. A junkyard owner looks out in there and says, yeah, I got an old truck back there, but he doesn't know the story of it. I'd rather go to a garage with one car in it and somebody can speak personally about that connection to the car.
Right.
Just my thing.
Yes.
No, I totally agree with you. That's what sold me on the car that I have now is it came from a garage in Rocky Point. It was sitting for 30 years. The son's father wanted to pretty much, I guess he loved the car so much that he must have wanted to convert it into a 300 because the son said he did a lot of work to it. So, but he didn't know what was what. And I'm looking at the car and going, yeah, I think there's something up with this thing. It's not a Newport. It's not a 300. There's something fugazi about it, but it had 63,000 original miles on it.
What year is it?
It's a 69.
69. Okay.
Yeah. And there it is. And thank you, Webmaster. And it just was sitting there. It was on all four flats. We had to get two of the four wheels free, break them free. And it was just covered in lawn equipment. But the father used it. And then his mom drove it around. And the car was put away in 1989, never see the light of day again.
Yeah.
So I was like you say, you're intrigued by the story.
Yeah.
You go, holy smokes, this car has – I mean, like the family showed up when it was pulled on the flatbed. A 30-year-old man said, I never saw the hood down on this car.
Is that a 440 or a 383?
No, it's a 383. That was the first clue that it's
– with a torque flight?
Yeah.
And the gear reduction starter. Wing, 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 wing.
Oh, totally. That –
we're going to see if our system works. And then what I just found a 69 300 convertible yesterday. Like you had said in your books and when you've been on the show in the past, a lot of times you go down a road the same way. If you go back the other way, you'll see something that you didn't see. In this case, I was able to see it because there was less traffic. And
let's
all
go
of
to
a sudden,
the phones.
Like,
hold on, Ray. I'm sorry. Let's go to the phones. Let's see if this works.
Okay, Chris. Go to the phones. Go to the fun. Call.
Oh, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Hello.
Is it working? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Who is this?
It's Al Handy. How are you guys?
Hey, Al. How are you?
Here's your chain link stalker there, Tom.
Oh, my God. I still dream about that car. You cannot believe how I dream about that car.
So which car are we talking about,
amazing.
Al? Al, which car are we talking about?
The Woody, his Merc Woody, or his Ford Woody.
Ford Woody. So you watch it on my show. You can see it.
Yes, I did. Oh, it's okay. Beautiful job they did on it. Yeah.
Well, Al is the guy, Tom, who had spotted it through the fence at the school.
Yep, we communicated. That's just amazing.
Right. That is. Can you retell that story real fast, Al?
Yeah, sure. Sixth grade recess, running around the back of the school, and out of the corner of my eye. Now, this is when my squad, I see this car sitting out in the field, the grass is all grown around it. I'm like, oh, my God. So I was late back to class because I didn't hear the teacher calling because I was, like, on the chain link fence just drooling. Sixth grade. I forget how old I was. Yeah, I got in a lot of trouble that day.
But that car, I've had. Oh, is it you were in sixth grade. I was in 10th grade when I bought that car.
Okay.
I was
very good. Yeah.
So let me see. So you were probably 10. So I'm 5 years old. So you're probably 60 years old.
Right. Okay.
Doing the math. So
that's how long I've been into cars. Even longer, probably fourth or fifth grade, I suppose.
Uh-huh. And the Woody isn't, that's not the average car a young kid would be enthralled by, I would imagine. I mean, I can see if I found one when I was younger, I probably would have I mean, I actually played in some old station wagons and drove it into the street when I was about three. It was an old Chevy, but
right.
Yeah, it's it's just kind of cool that that was your choice. But
I've been always like Jim. I've always been very interested in station wagons. Always have been.
Yeah.
I just think they need cars.
Yep. I tell you, every era of my life, I've had one.
I have to, and,
you know, still want to do another one. I'm not done yet.
Very true.
So I've got the 39.
That's great.
I've got the 39 Woody, a 53 Ford two door station wagon. So I bought the Woody in 69. The 53 Ford two door wagon I bought in 72. I still have that. I've got the 67 Ford Country Squire with the 4-speed. I've got and my everyday driver is a BMW wagon. I mean, so like, you know, I'm a wagon guy.
No,
right.
Well, if you hear any noise behind me, it's echoing. I'm in the garage right now working on the Jeep.
When aren't you
listening to you guys? But in the man cave, I have a 30x40 Quonset hut type cave that has 28-foot ceilings in it. So I have a lift, and I'm working on the Jeep right now.
You're always out there doing something to that thing. I'll give you credit on that. That's
yeah.
Well, Al, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate talking to you guys as usual. Enjoy. Hey,
thanks.
And Tom, keep that Woody.
All right, Al. Talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Take care, Al.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You still got a few minutes left. You can be like Al and get in on this. You can call us at 516-256-9510 or check motormouthradio.com where this show will go up as an upload. You can listen to it in its entirety or download it, whatever you want to do. It's also on Spreaker, Performance Motorsports Network. And that's where we're at. So, yeah. And we can have fun. It's a good time. You jog my memory because we have Alana Scher next week who had written for Hot Rod Magazine. She's an independent now out on the West Coast. But we're going to get Kevin McKay. I spoke with Kevin a while ago. I actually ran into Kevin in a local restaurant. You know, we talked, and I got to drag him back into the virtual studio now and talk.
Well, when I'm on Long Island, I go out to visit him. We sit in the shop for a while, and he says, "You want to have pizza?" Yeah. So we go to a pizza place in Valley Stream near the shop, and it's everything I dreamed of. You know, like since moving from Long Island, it's rare to have that kind of pizza.
Yeah. Okay. And I just got some pizza from Chris's from Brucolina. One of the guys at the shop, he hands me a box from L&B's Pomone Gardens the other day. He says, "Here, this is for you." I'm like, whoa. Because one of his buddies is a cop in the city. And on the way back, he bought a couple of pies. And of course, they divvied him up. And he says, "Hey, does Ray like this stuff?" And Mike said, "Yeah, sure he does." So they saved me a big slab. I had a piece yesterday. Oh boy, is that good.
it's kind of funny, Tom, because I used to live right up the block from L&B. Yeah. So every once in a while, they'd say, "Hey, look, we're going down to L&B. Get a slice of pizza." All right, I'll take a walk. And I would walk up to L&B and see them all. And
that's the smart way, because you can't get a parking spot. Everybody's double and triple parked over there now. We were there last summer, and it was, ugh.
Yeah, wait until the tour buses show up.
There's a place near here called Brooklyn South. Craig Caminiti owns it. He's from Huntington, and he had a pizza place on 25A at the intersection of New York Avenue 110 and 25, yeah. Whatever. So we've got a local New York guy here. Really lucky about that.
Good. That's excellent.
Tom, was there ever a time where you like you say, you talked to the grumpy old man? How do you? I've seen your work. I've seen how you kind of massage the people, and you do. You're incredibly charming, and you can watch the ice melt. And that alone, people can learn volumes, probably just how to communicate with each other or how to negotiate just by watching your videos. Cars aside, just by watching videos, how do you do that? Tell us the technique.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a PR guy. Well, first of all, I mean, being a human being, I'm a sensitive human being, and I can easily put myself in somebody else's shoes. I can imagine that person getting a knock on the door, opening the door, and I can imagine what he's feeling. So I can put myself in their shoes. I was a salesman, and I sold cars at Sable Ford. I sold furniture in Manhattan. And you have to sell yourself before you can sell a product. Yeah. You can't just, you know, again, it's like it's the human interest side. It's not hardware. And so it's something I've just, developed. And then when I became a PR guy, you know, that's selling of an idea, the selling of a product, the selling of an event. And so I put myself in this position. I mean, this is just what I do for my life. I'm not a hard ass guy where you want to sell it or not. Well, that's going to get you kicked out of the driveway, you know, but I have techniques. Right. I have techniques where I'll knock on the door. Let's say there's a Bronco, a first generation Bronco in the garage I can see or something. And I'll say, you know, and I know that everybody's going knocking on this door and no one wants to sell. But I'll go to the door and say, do you need any parts for that Bronco? Because I can get you some parts for it. I have.
Good idea.
And suddenly I want to sell him something. I don't really want to sell him anything.
Right.
But it puts him in a different frame of mind. And suddenly you're like, well, who's this guy? Come on in.
Offense as opposed to defense. Yeah.
Right.
You know, our good friend Cliff just reminded me, if I knew what day it was, tell you, look at the calendar, it is 4/26. It's Hemi Day.
Hemi Day.
That means tomorrow is 4/27.
That's right.
And then that means Tuesday is 4/28.
4/20 and 4/29.
4/29. We're on a roll, baby.
Well, then we get to Oldsmobile Day. We get 4/30. Yeah. But, yeah. I know. We play those games with the calendar. It's always kind of fun. That's nice stuff. That's
right.
Cool. So, Tom,
it's never 396 day, but go ahead.
No, it's not. Well, in my world, it is. Or 400 day. I don't get a Pontiac day. But my car is now 406, so I actually do get it. What have you been doing now that we're all in the house? What's your method for staying sane?
Well, this is like tomorrow, I think, will be the beginning of my 7th week. My wife and I have been kind of locked down. And, you know, it's okay. I've taken care of things around the house. You know, like today I was washing windows and stuff. Which I will do after this phone call's over. But also, I walk a lot. Like today, I walked 6 miles of town, got coffee, and walked. I mean, 3 miles of town, 3 miles back is 6 miles. I'm a runner.
Wow.
So I'm a runner. So I'm running. Actually, I was supposed to be in the Boston Marathon last Monday, but it was canceled delayed until September. So now I got to kind of maintain a good you know, running habit, but I don't want to go crazy and break my, you know, hurt my knees or my ankles. So I'm running about 2 days of 6 miles each and 1 day of 13. And I'll do that every week. I'm reading a lot. And then I'm writing a book about the history of Porsche racing in the United States.
Okay.
I've never been a book about that. And I'm, you know, talking to guys like Joe Bezzetta, who's a Long Island guy, owned Competition Imports in Smithtown or St. James. You know, and that I'm not a Porsche guy, but I'm learning a lot, and I've got 3 years to write this book, which is a long time. So it requires so much reading. But listen to this. You got time? Yeah, we still got time.
Yeah.
I keep on looking at these old racing entry forms back to see who drove Porsches back in 51, 52. And this last name, Koster, keeps coming up. Koster. It was Fritz Koster out of Sable, Long Island.
Wow.
So I called my friend. I said, man, I keep seeing this guy, Fritz Koster. He raced in Sebring. He raced at Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. He raced at Watkins Glen. He raced at Bridgehampton. He must have been a well-to-do person. But this was 70 years ago almost. I said, can you see if there's any Kosters left in Sable? Well, he gives me the phone number of Fritz Koster's nephew.
Wow.
And he still lives in Sable. And no, he doesn't have an old Porsche from his uncle, but he's got a 66 GT350 Shelby race car that he raced at Bridgehampton and has been out of the garage since 74. Like,
wow.
Still out there.
That sounds our dear departed friend Frank Dominiani from High Speed in Valley Street.
Exactly. I went to his shop and I was amazed.
I'm still, you know, we lost Frank a few years ago, but I'm still in touch with his son, Joe. We regularly share emails, and he sends me old, as he's purging through Frank's files, he'll send me pictures and racing forms and, you know, and rosters. And some of it, I don't know what it is. I have to ask for clarification. Some of it is obvious, but yeah, I mean, he's got file cabinets full of stuff. That's fantastic.
I'd like to see, if you talk to him again, anything he's got related to Cunningham, because he and Bruce Cunningham were friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd like to find out if he's got any photographs or whatever of Cunningham's, because that's dear to me.
I think I have some in my computer that he sent me, so I'll look.
Wow.
I'll look. Yeah. Well, like I said, we stay in touch. We're close. So, you know, Joe and I have a good relationship. I will definitely do that. But I thought of you the other week, like I mentioned before the show. I was went for a walk one day on a rainy Sunday, and just a few blocks, I went across the main street, across Babylon Turnpike. I'm walking, and I found, you know, a BMW Z3, a Firebird 400, some kind of a British sports car under a cover. And like Tom had taught us, Chris, when you drive, you see things, but you don't see everything. Drive the other way, and you'll see different things.
Yeah.
Ride a motorcycle, you'll pick stuff up. Ride a bicycle, you'll see more. But when you walk, oh boy, can you find stuff.
You Amen. Sure can.
Amen. So, and my wife says, you better stop walking. Well, keep your eyes straight.
No, Tom, I must admit, out of all of our guests that we've had on the show, your voice rings most in my head a lot of times, and that is because of the shared interest of finding those cars in the garage and finding those cars in barns, and just I love it. It's like in my blood too. I always said I'm not the car guy. Ray is certainly not the car guy I am, but between the both of us, we kind of make one car guy mind. And this is, you definitely like satisfy my end of this. This is the stuff I truly enjoy.
My friend Peter Egan, who was for so long a writer for Road and Track magazine, he's the best automotive writer. He's retired now. He drove the Cobra across the United States with me, you know, from California to North Carolina. And he wrote the foreword in one of, I think in the Cobra in the barn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all the way across the United States, I'm saying, damn, I bet there's something in that garage. Oh, look behind that. And he said, you know, Tom Cotter needs x-ray vision so he can look through the doors. And at the end of his little foreword in the book, he said, to Tom, finding an old car in a barn is like meeting God.
Wow. I love it.
Well, I tell you what, I have that's the Cobra in the barn, you said?
Yeah.
I have a copy of that book, and I think I'll find that. Maybe we'll put that up on our website, that intro. So
yep.
People can see that. But I tell you what, Tom, we have burned it out. We're going to have to get out of here. We have another show coming in after us, and we thank you for coming in this new platform of ours. And you know, I have you down. I'll keep you in rotation. We'll keep bugging you to come back.
I love it.
Keep up the good work. So. And
hey, yous guys are great.
Hey, yous pretty good too.
You can actually hang with us because we do a little after show. If you want to stay, we can talk. If you got something to do, we understand.
So, all right.
Siobhan, that's it. I guess we're going to wrap. So on for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, for our special guest, Tom Cotter, who we thank. This has been Motormouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC. What do you say, Chris?
Don't follow us home, and don't put it in the barn either, because Tom will find it.
All right, see you.